John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus said to Pilate, "I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Now, I don't think that was a question as much as it was a skeptical, cynical statement. Good morning. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And this matter of truth is critical. That's why we have entitled this program Real Truth for Today, this radio broadcast, Real Truth for Today, because we are being bombarded with lies. Now, Jesus made it clear, John chapter 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus is the truth. And he said in his great high priestly prayer, John 17, "Sanctify them in the truth," praying to his Father, "sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." We learn truth from the Bible because the Bible is truth. And we are to speak as believers, speak the truth in love. And as pastors, we are to be bold to preach the word, even in a day and age where people would rather have myths and lies than the truth. We're to stand up and speak the truth in love. Now, I am on Twitter, and I've been on Twitter for several years now. I get a lot of my news from Twitter and learn a lot of things that are going on in our world and in our nation from Twitter. And I was on yesterday, and I ran across a video that was posted by a pastor. His name's Adam Page. He's out of Amelia Baptist Church in Florida. And it was another pastor, very influential pastor, Andy Stanley, the pastor of North Point Church in the Atlanta area, Atlanta, Georgia. And Andy Stanley is extremely influential. He was voted, I think, one of the top 10 most influential pastors in America by other pastors that were part of this vote, this survey. He has about 10.5 million downloads of his sermons and his leadership podcasts and things like that a month on YouTube. He has a network of churches that encompasses about 200,000 people. This guy, if you're not familiar with Andy Stanley, he's written a lot of books. He's very, very influential, very, very popular. But Adam Page posted this snippet of a message that he gave in a conference in 2022 that was shocking, to say the least. Listen to the clip.
Figure out how to get straight people as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person. I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay men and women, okay, a gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what, I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted, and you go over and over and over and over? Only your in-law's house. That's the only place you go where you know you're not completely accepted, but you go over and over and over, and it's because you have to. But other than the in-laws, what environment do you continue to step foot in knowing at any moment you may feel ostracized? No place. I'm telling you, the gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who've come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church, oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer the cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. God said no, and they still love God. We have some things to learn from a group of men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And I know the verses. I know the clobber passages, right? We got to figure this out. And you know what? I think you are.
So that was a clip from the conference in 2022, the Drive Conference at North Point Community Church or Ministries or whatever the exact title is of the church. Andy Stanley, a shocking statement coming from a pastor. And to help me with this discussion on what Andy said is my friend Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. He's been pastor there for 36 years. He's an author, and the president of the Founders Ministry, a ministry committed to encouraging the recovery of the gospel and the biblical reformation of local churches. Dr. Tom, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. Glad to be back with you.
Well, you know, when I hear heresy like this, I think of who can I talk to about this who would share my concern, and your name always comes to the top of my list. So, Tom, give me your initial thoughts on what Andy had to say.
Yeah, well, Jeff, it's so sad. I mean, that was my profound emotional response. The most profound was just sadness of this, and there's anger mixed in somewhere there, too, because people are listening to him, and as you pointed out, he's very, very influential. He's a very good communicator, and so we can expect people to buy what he is selling, and what he is selling is poisonous. It's contrary to the Word of God, and to see him dismiss the Word of God, calling them clobber passages. You know, well, okay, does that mean we no longer read them, or we don't have to give them their full weight of authority that is breathed out by God's Spirit? So there's just so many things wrong with what he said. I was trying to think through a little bit before calling in this morning. You know, number one, what does he mean by gay people, gay Christians? He's created a category, or he's bought into a category of identity that is contrary to Scripture. So if we were just to replace his categories that he has bought into with biblical language, you think how ludicrous this would sound, and it wouldn't be so easy to deceive people with it. So if he just said, you know what, if we could get sexually faithful people to be as committed as sodomites are to serving in our church, then we wouldn't have a volunteer problem. Why? You know, that would be ludicrous. Nobody would. Why are we letting sodomites do this? Or he dismisses the 1 Corinthians 6 passage, you know, which is where homosexuality is mentioned as something that one must be saved from, washed from, and praise God, can be saved and washed from. But that's in the list of a lot of other sins. What if he said, if we could get you people who worship the one true God to be as committed as the idolaters in this church, or if we could get you folks who don't steal to be as committed as the thieves, or you who are not covetous as committed as the ones who are greedy, or those of you who are not drunks to be as committed as the drunkards. I mean, you just go down the list in the 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 verses, passage there, and it's, if you think, Andy, what are you doing, man? You're crazy. You've been deceived. You have bought into the lies of this culture, and by doing so, you're distorting the Word of God, you're misrepresenting Jesus Christ and His gospel, and you're leading many, many people astray.
Okay, so Tom, let's unpack that, because I totally agree with you on leading people astray. When we, from the pulpit, and especially a guy with that kind of influence, when he makes it, and he might not have said this verbatim, but he sure makes it sound like, hey, there are straight Christians and there are gay Christians, and there are people who love Jesus that are heterosexual and people who love Jesus that are homosexual. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If I'm holding on to sin, how can I honestly say I'm walking in love with Jesus?
No, you can't. I mean, you deceive. It's 1 John, you know, the one who says I know him and doesn't do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. These are not standards you and I make up. This is what the Word of God teaches. And as pastors, we have to do the best we can to explain as simply and as clearly and as persuasively as we can what God actually says, because the truth is what Jesus said will set us free. And it's not loving to hold truth back from people. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that true love rejoices in truth. So I'm sure Andy feels like he's being loving and Christians have not been loving toward gay people because, you know, where do you go other than the church that gay people have been so bashed and abused and rejected and such. Well, I mean, we all can be guilty of not being kind as we should be to people different from us, but there's no love that looks at a person in sin and says, hey, you're okay in your sin. That's not loving. That's cruelty. You're holding that person back from the only source of life and forgiveness and reconciliation with God that is available, which is through Christ. And Christ came for sinners, and those who do not know themselves to be sinners or refuse to confess their sin cannot be reconciled to God through Christ. So if you tell somebody who's practicing sin, who identifies themselves with sinful understanding and practices, that they can keep their sin and have Jesus, you're lying to them, and you will send them to hell if they believe you.
Yeah, it's a twisted, perverted kind of love. 1 Corinthians 13, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And Tom, one of the things I've seen, and Andy is an excellent communicator, but I think pastors can fall in the trap of being clever that trumps being clear. You know, I think it's good to be clever, but that's not the goal. The goal is to be clear. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I would say amen to that. You know, our responsibility is to handle the Word of God with integrity. You know, God looks to the person who trembles at His Word, and we have no business cutting off the sharp edges or rounding them off or in any way withholding what God says. And sometimes that temptation to be clever where you get the applause or you get the laughter or people say, you know, wow, you know, that was really well put, and yet what was well put or what caused people to laugh or clap was not truth. It was either a distortion of the truth, covering up the truth, insinuation of something contrary to truth. You're deceiving people, and you're deceiving them in the worst possible way because you're making them think, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, when in reality, you're keeping them from that which will set them free. And, I mean, Andy's very gifted at that. He did it in this little clip that you played. So, yeah, we've got to guard against that. I mean, as a pastor, we're going to give an account. Paul told the Ephesian elders, you know, he said, I did not withhold from you the whole counsel of God. I cut it straight. I set before you what God has given in His revealed Word. And that's our job. Man, we're messengers. We don't create the message. Our job is to faithfully communicate that message. And in what I heard Andy say in that clip, that was a massive failure.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I was reading some of the comments that people were making. Well, he was trying to make a point, and he's not really endorsing homosexuality. But, I mean, even if you give him the huge benefit of the doubt, he's sure confusing people. And people that are struggling, you know, they will be attracted to that kind of a message because it's like, hey, if you're going to affirm me in my sin, that's 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to have my ears tickled, and this is going to be wonderful.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And one thing that I've tried to teach our folks here at Grace in Cape Coral is to think ethically and to evaluate ethical arguments by using other sin and substituting it for the sin that seems to be downplayed in the way people are communicating. So, like, do this with Andy. Okay, he's doing this with homosexuality. That, man, if we just had enough straight people, as many straight people as we do gay people, then we'd be fine. Well, do that with thievery. You know, do that with bestiality and see what comes out. You would, everybody recognizes that those things are ludicrous.
Right. Well, we're talking to Dr. Tom Maskell. We're talking about the miscommunication coming from Andy Stanley that is confusing lots of people. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. Don't go away.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, advancing through the scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
No more tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really
just another power grab by the federal government?
Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to Dr. Tom Askell, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and the president of Founders Ministry. We're talking about a recent clip that's been going around Twitter of Andy Stanley and his, I don't know what you'd call it, his just falsehoods regarding homosexuality and kind of chastising the church for not being more passionate about serving Jesus like our gay brothers and sisters who also love Jesus, and filled with falsehoods in there that are very concerning to anybody that loves the truth. And so, Dr. Tom, let me ask you this question as we are kind of reeling from what he said. How is the church supposed to treat anyone claiming to be a Christian while holding and affirming sin?
Yeah, well, what I tell people pretty regularly in my pastoral counseling is, look, whenever they're in that situation, is I can't look inside your heart and say whether or not you're born again, but here's what I can tell you. Based on the authority of God's Word, you have no biblical reason to hope that you're converted. Now, Christians can backslide and look like those that have never been born again, and unbelievers can be hypocrites and look like those who have been born again. So I want to be very careful and acknowledge my limitations, but I also want to press the truth of God's Word as firmly as I can. This is what the Bible says a Christian is. This is how the Bible says a Christian will act. And if you refuse to do what you clearly see the Bible calls you to be and do, then you have no biblical reason to hope that you know the living God. And I try to help people grapple with what the words of Scripture actually say. As you pointed out in the John 14:15 passage earlier, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think it's hard for the church because we get hit with this. Well, you're treating this as the worst of sins. You know, homosexuality is, and it's not the unpardonable sin, but it's like, no. Well, you guys don't get off, you don't go off on fornicators. You don't go off on adulterers. You just go off on those that are committing homosexuality, and they make the, you know, the claim, I'm born this way, and how do you... You know, how can you, you know, rip me for that? Here's my argument, Tom, and I'd love you to chime in on this. The fornicators and the adulterers are not holding on to that sin saying this is good and right and fine. Most of them are saying, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm still doing it. You know, I'm giving in to temptation constantly. And a lot of them, as Christians, they're living in constant guilt over that stuff. And then, as you said, some of them aren't believers. And so, but it is a different sin. And let's talk about this. It is a different sin when you read in Romans 1 where God gives people over to that. And then it's totally different when you hold to it and you make it part of your identity.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And I would say to the adulterer who continues to commit adultery, even though he feels guilty about it, that there's a real problem there, too. You know, the guilt doesn't absolve him, of course, of his immorality and rebellion against God. And it could be that he's never tasted the power and the grace of God in Christ. But you're right. There is something different about the sin of homosexuality in that, as Paul argues in Romans 1, it is contrary to nature. And so the desire, the homosexual desire, is never, ever right. Whereas the heterosexual desire, if I can use that language, a desire of a man for a woman, intimate relationship with a woman, can be right in marriage. And it's not right outside of marriage to ever have that and let that run away or to act on it, but it can be right in marriage because it is according to nature. Homosexuality is an inversion of nature, and Paul makes this case, and it's almost like he's using that as the epitome of a culture that has been given over to the judgment of God, where it's like, okay, God, just we keep pushing the fence and pushing the boundaries, saying, I'll be free, I'll do what I want to do, and God keeps removing the fence as an act of judgment, letting it go further and further, until finally we give ourselves over to that which is contrary to nature. So there's no universe in God's world where homosexual desire, homosexual activity could ever be right. And that's not true of the activity that is sinful outside of marriage, but nevertheless is engaged in by adulterers and fornicators. The act itself can be right within the confines of covenanted marriage. So there is a radical distinction between homosexuality and the fornication or adultery. Doesn't mean that adultery and fornication are any less sinful than that you won't go to hell for giving yourself over to them. Not at all. But there is a degree here that we see of perversion and rejection of God's order in creation that is manifested in homosexuality.
Tom, we hear a lot of people trying to make the argument that, well, I'm homosexual, but I'm not acting on that, so I'm a celibate homosexual, and those giving their, you know, stamp of approval on, oh, okay, well, that's okay to be like that. Why is that a wrong way to think?
Yeah, well, it's identifying yourself with rebellion against God. You know, so I'm a rebellious, God-hating Christian. You know, nobody would ever call them, or I'm a Christian pedophile. I'm a pedophile who doesn't act on it. Is that okay? I'm a white supremacist who doesn't act on it. Oh, is that okay? I mean, I'm a thief who's just not acting on it. I mean, we don't think in those categories, and the reason that those sound so crazy to us, while I'm a gay person who doesn't act on it doesn't sound crazy to us is an indication of how effective the homosexual lobby has been over the last 30 years by clear, or actually 40 years, by clear intention. Beginning in the 1980s, there was a stated strategy that was hatched by the radical homosexual community to queer America. You can read about it in a book published by two Harvard graduates in 1989 called After the Ball, you know, How America Will Become Queer. And they lay their strategy out. And it's very, you know, you desensitize the nation, first of all. You keep showing images. You keep showing things that are homosexually oriented and to where it becomes less and less repulsive. And then you start jamming people where when they say homosexuality is wrong, then you begin to isolate them and say, well, I can't believe you're so bigoted. And then you start setting up situations where it is applauded and where it is embraced as being enlightened. And I want to say congratulations to that lobby, to that that radical group that has hatched an agenda and has acted on it, because they have been incredibly successful. And the reason, one way that we can test and see how successful they've been, is when you substitute gay for thievery or for pedophilia or bestiality, and try to use the same arguments that Andy Stanley and others make about gay people with those categories of people, and you find yourself still repulsed today by that. Why is that? Well, it's because there's within us the law of God. Even the unbeliever has the law of God written on his heart in some way, and we know that it's wrong, and we have been so desensitized, so jammed, so persuaded emotionally by this agenda that's been at play for the last 30 to 40 years, that now then it just seems unloving and even cruel to suggest that a gay person, self-identified gay person, could not be right with God in his homosexuality.
Well, and Tom, I don't see really any other sin that people are trying to attach themselves to. This is my identity. Maybe in the transgender situation, but it's not like people are coming into church saying, where's the adulterous Christian section? Where are the stealing Christians? I want to identify with it. Nobody else is doing that. I get dinged, and you probably do too. Hey, why are you harping on this all the time? It's because that is, as you said, that's the culture that we are living in. And, a kid growing up in this day and time, it's way different than when you and I grew up. I mean, it was universally understood when we were growing up, middle school, high school, college, that was wrong. And everybody believed that. But kids growing up today, they don't think that's wrong. And if they go to church and they don't hear it from the pulpit, where are they supposed to get the truth?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And again, it is a part of the success of an agenda, because there has been a clear agenda to queer America. That has happened. So congratulations to those who had this perverted agenda and have seen it come to pass. But Jeff, one thing that we need to help our people think about more carefully is, according to Romans 1, this is indication that we are under judgment. God has judged and is judging America and the whole of Western civilization by, and the evidence is, what is happening with homosexuality, sexual perversion, and there's more coming. I mean, there's already, it was not long at all after Obergefell. In fact, it's the next day after the Obergefell decision that you had the Lambda, the Love Between Men and Boys group coming out saying, what about us? And now there's this whole new category of people, minor attracted people, MAP. And you've had politicians actually voice out loud, I'm not sure we should criminalize all acts of love between adults and children. I mean, after all, children can be wise to make their own decisions about things as well, and that's an agenda that's coming too. It's not as prominent yet, but it's there, and we will see it over the next, I predict, 2 to 5 years. It will become very common parlance in our cultural debates.
Mm. You know, you think about the patience of God. I share this in church a lot. The patience of God is long, but it's not without limits. And eventually, I heard Adrian Rogers say this years ago, you know, the waters of God's wrath are furiously beating upon the dam of his mercy. And one day that dam is going to give way. And as we're experiencing wrath from Romans 1, but there's getting ready to be, I think, a cataclysmic wrath that, you know, maybe rivals Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, I fear you're right on that. And you know, what should we do then? Well, man, we don't need to be afraid or just go hunker down. God's people need to be praying, number one, because only God can solve this. I mean, we have not yet prayed as desperately as we ought. We're not as desperate as the day calls for. And if God would open our eyes more clearly, which I think he's doing, Andy Stanley, others, every time we see this kind of thing, it ought to cause us to realize, God, we need you. God, please come. Forgive us. And we repent and cry out to him. I've been thinking about this a long time, and especially the last couple of years. In the Great Awakening here in our country, Jonathan Edwards, who promoted this humble attempt to call for a corporate prayer, you know, gathered prayer together to cry out to God regularly for revival and expressing true repentance. And I believe we need another one of those corporate expressions of repentance and call for prayer in our day.
Amen. I would totally agree with that. Well, it's interesting. The book of Jude, second to last book of the Bible before Revelation, the return of the Lord, contend earnestly for the faith. Certain persons have crept in unnoticed, and they turn the grace of God into licentiousness, even denying the master who bought them. You know, it's hard to assign motive, and we really can't do that. But Paul did tell Timothy, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, I think, Tom, you and I have had this conversation before. You know, how many of these people that have such influence are deceivers, and how many are being deceived in what they are saying? They really believe this is the way that Scripture teaches this is true.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you want to give the benefit of the doubt where you can, as long as you can, but ultimately we've got to deal with what's being said and done. So I'll leave motives to God, but you can't just sit back and let things be said the way Andy Stanley said them and pretend that it's okay. It's not okay. If people believe him and follow that, they will go to hell because they will miss the grace of God in the gospel. Paul, listing out all those sins in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, follows it up, and he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. God saves wicked sinners. You and I were saved out of our wicked sin, and that's true for everyone, and it's true for those who conceive themselves as gay, as well as those who conceive themselves as straight or whatever. God saves sinners, but when he does, we no longer are identified by our sin. We were those types of sinners, and now we're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, and that ought to be the identity of every Christian.
Amen. What a great statement. Well, Dr. Tom, thanks for being my guest today. I always appreciate your comments. I appreciate your friendship. So God bless you. Is the church back to pre-hurricane days?
Well, not quite. We just began our regular, all of our classes started meeting on Sundays just 2 weeks ago. So we're grateful to God for that. We still are not able to do everything in our regular rhythm of classes over the week and Wednesday nights. But we have our Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night worship. We've been doing that for months. We praise the Lord for that. We still have lots of work to do. You know, one of our deacons lost his home. One of our elders lost their home. Other members lost their homes. And so we're just busy trying to provide and help for them as well as others in our community. And that'll be years before we see all that put right. But God's been full of mercy and grace to us. And you and your church have been a part of that. Other churches have. So we are praising God for his kindness and mercies to us in the midst of the ongoing challenges.
Amen. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Tom Askell, and this is Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. So we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is so frustrating. But here's some great news. If you missed the December 7th deadline for open enrollment, it's not too late. Here's something that can really help. It's MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. It's people who encourage and pray for each other, too. MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. Plus, it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. So worth looking into. MediShare 65 Plus is open for enrollment. And if you join right now, before January 31st, your second month will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
The Larsons learned that a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You just can't outgive God, and He just keeps pouring back into us.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about the issue of homosexuality and what does the Bible say, and Tom Askell was my guest as we interacted with that clip from Andy Stanley, a very disturbing clip, seemingly very supportive of homosexuality as homosexuals, people who love Jesus and serve Jesus and that kind of thing. And so what does the Bible say? That is critical, because Jesus said, all whoever the truth will hear my voice, and he came into the world to testify to the truth. We are called to speak the truth in love. And so before we go to the phone lines, I wanted to just say, you know, we had a campaign last week on American Family Radio for Preborn to ask you to partner with them, as we've partnered with them as a ministry, American Family Association, American Family Radio. And our goal was 4,000 ultrasounds, because when a woman in crisis pregnancy has an ultrasound and sees her baby there in her womb, the chances of her going through with an abortion go down significantly. And so we came very, very close to our goal. So I just want to thank all those who joined with us to partner with Preborn. And Preborn, the ministry was just blown away and so appreciative of everyone who contributed and said, hey, I want to be a part in saving babies' lives. So we just want to thank you for your faithfulness. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we have Kara on the line from Oklahoma. Kara, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Ron. Sorry, Ron. Ron from Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff, and that's fine. Thanks for taking my call, and it was sure a joy to have Pastor Tom on. He is indeed spot on. I was going to start out by saying again, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and such were some of you. I'm not saying that there's a cookie-cutter 1-2-3-step path out of homosexuality, but it can be changed according to God's word. That's where the truth is. And then he also referenced a book, which I'm familiar with. In fact, I have it, only to study the agenda. There is an actual agenda by the two Harvard scholars that Tom mentioned to get people to accept homosexuality. And they readily admit that there are environmental factors that enter in to the homosexual lifestyle or behavior. There's not a gay being. There's environmental factors, but yet for the purpose of getting America to accept this, they have to get us to believe that homosexuality can't be helped, that they were born that way, that there's a gay gene. But again, the truth that we talk about in Romans 1, that people know the truth. The two men that wrote this book after the ball, and I'm not going to mention their names, but they readily admit that there are environmental factors that lead to the homosexual lifestyle. And what's incredible that the both of you talked about is that we don't glorify drinking. If there's someone suffering from alcoholism, the family usually gets together and does something called an intervention. Mm-hmm. And we don't celebrate cigarette smoking. We don't have a national Pride Day for cigarette smoking, which causes lung cancer and COPD. Pastor Jeff, I've shared this before, the number one transmitter of the HIV virus, which causes AIDS, is men committing the act of sodomy with other men. I don't know how anybody calls that love. But yet, according to the book, and then I'll wrap up and just stop there, but according to the book, Tom is right. The whole agenda is to pound and pound and pound. As in, and you call yourself a Christian, Ron. I thought your Jesus came in love. Mm-hmm. I thought he came to love. Love is love, Ron. And people are back on their heels. I do think there's too many that don't know how to respond, either due to laziness maybe or ineptitude. I'm not sure. And I'm not trying to break my arm patting myself on the back, but we've got to homosexuality is something that can be changed. It is a self-destructive, disease-ridden behavior. And how anybody then can call that love is a mystery to me. And I'll stop there. Thanks much.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for those comments. And that might be a book that you want to get just as a reference after the ball that Tom referenced and that Ron just referenced, because there is an agenda. And, you know, the devil never takes a holiday. He never takes a vacation. He's coming after the truth. And he's always, you know, indeed has God said. He's going to attack the truth of the Word of God because he knows that truth is what sets people free. And if you can get people to believe a lie, you can keep them locked up in their sin and you can keep them on the highway to hell. Well, we have Kara on the line from Oklahoma. Kara, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes.
I thought what Ron was saying was spot on. I was part of the Broadway community for 10 years. And when the pastor was saying, is there ever a time that you've had to walk in and be ostracized every day? I was like, yes, actually, yeah. All the time, all the way through college, all the way through my time in New York. To the point where I knew that there were certain people who would not work with me if they knew like what my heart desired with the Lord. I was told all the time that I would have to make all these choices. But anyway, that's off the point. But I do have a deep love for the gay community. So many of them are my friends. I still teach, and I have students constantly coming out of the closet, even those that used to go to church with me. And I would take a kid, and they would go to church with me when they were struggling, and And we would pray together, and they seemed like they had a big, deep desire and love for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, they came out of the closet, and now, nope, I don't love God anymore because they don't. It's not affirming what feels so real to me now. Mm-hmm. And it, I guess, one of the points that I wanted to make, just for those listening, because I know you know this. We, in fact, Ron touched on it some too, is that there's the big difference that Christians seem to miss today. And when I say Christians, I guess I mean like so-called Christians, is the difference between a quote-unquote gay Christian or someone who is a Christian who is wrestling with that mm-hmm. sin.
Right.
And we so often just allow them to just leave them in that sin and forgetting that God said he's going to transform us. He's not going to leave us there. So it just... This topic, it just breaks my heart all the time mm-hmm. because I deal with it every single day.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Kara, and that's a great point. I preached at Christmas time about the Lord came to save his people from their sins. And the Lord doesn't save us in sin. He saves us from sin. He delivers us from the domain of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And if we're going to walk with the Lord, you walk in the light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So whether that's homosexuality, whether that's fornication, whether that's adultery, whether that's living in pornography, whether that's living in bitterness, whether that's living in jealousy, whether that's living in greed, whatever. I mean, we as Christians, we have to fight those things, because we all have, an Achilles heel, and we all have things that we struggle with. But there's a big difference between struggling with sin and just embracing sin and giving into sin. You can't have a walk with God and a relationship with God if you're going to embrace sin, because Jesus hates sin. And he won't look upon sin. He won't have any kind of a relationship with those who are holding on to sin. And that's what sent him to the cross. He died for our sins so that he could redeem us and set us free from sin. So I appreciate your work, and may God bless you, Kara, as you minister and as you speak the truth in love. Well, we have Joy from Alabama on the line. Joy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. I missed the first 20 minutes of the program today, so this may have been addressed. But since your program on Friday, when you had a person call in about a homosexual question, I've been thinking about this. I agree, first of all, with everything that I've heard on your program with you. In Romans 1, he's describing the homosexual, and in verse 28, it's still describing the homosexual, and then in verse 29, it lists a lot of other sins, mm-hmm. covetousness, jealousy, gossiping, and those kinds of things. Are those in this particular case? Is Paul saying that these are things that homosexuals do also? Or is he speaking to all of us who are maybe jealous or envious or gossipers? And here's my question. I would never go to a homosexual wedding. I would not do that. But others have, when they read this list, they'll say, well, are you not going to go to somebody's wedding who gossips? Are you not going to go to somebody's wedding who lies? So what is your answer to that? The degree of sin or the degree of perversion, or how would you answer that?
Well, you wouldn't go to a wedding where they wanted to celebrate gossip, where they wanted to celebrate pride, where they wanted to celebrate all the lists of things, where they wanted to celebrate murder or strife or deceit or malice. All those things are listed. And a homosexual wedding is, you're celebrating homosexuality and the union of something that the Bible calls vile and unnatural. So that's why you can't participate in that. We participate in a wedding ceremony in between a man and a woman of neighbors, friends, family members that may not be Christian, but they're not, they're celebrating their coming together as husband and wife, which is something that God ordained and God sanctioned. So we can participate in that and celebrate that. And I think too, Joy, as far as Romans 1 goes, you have three times where it says God gave them over. So he gives a society over to sexual immorality. And we've seen that in America, especially in the 60s with the hippie movement and all this free love. And then that starts to run rampant. And then he gives a society over to homosexual immorality and perversion. And we're experiencing that now. And that begins to run rampant. And then the third thing is he gives people over to a reprobate mind, a depraved mind. That literally means a mind that doesn't function correctly anymore. It's worthless. And that's when all those other sins are listed. And we're seeing a depraved mind in a depraved society. The easiest example of that is we're saying that men can get pregnant. We're saying that a biological male can become a female. We're saying a biological female can become a male. That's impossible. That goes against the Word of God, obviously. It goes against science, basic science. You're born XX female or XY male, and it's on every cell, in every cell of your body. There's no way you can change that. God is the one who assigns your gender, and gender and sex are inseparably linked. And I feel for those who are struggling mentally, emotionally with this, and I'm very simple in my thinking. It's like the sooner you embrace the person God made you, the sooner that you can get out of this turmoil that you're living in. You know, it's similar to somebody that has anorexia. They are believing a lie. You know, I'm fat, and they're starving themselves to death. The sooner that they can get help to, in their mind, to start believing the truth, it's the truth that sets them free. So I appreciate your call, and you can always listen, AFR.net. You can listen to the beginning of this broadcast. It'll be on the website in probably just a few hours from now, and you can hear the clip that we played from Andy Stanley that was kind of the impetus for all our conversation. So God bless you, Joy. We have another minute or so. Esther from Kansas. Esther, welcome to the program.
Thank you for your program today. One thing about any sexual perversion and abortion, they are abomination. God lists that as a specific thing, which is, I don't have to say much worse, but it is abomination. And so Andy Stanley's been off the rails for years, but he is a false prophet, and unless he repents, he's going to spend hell for all with them that he has sent, and they will rail on him more all eternity. The man is a false prophet and a liar and a deceiver, and I thank you again for your time.
All right, Esther, thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing your comments. Just another minute, Carl from Texas. Carl, go ahead.
You are right on the money. Kind of remind me of Adrian Rogers. You answered that lady perfectly. They're not celebrating cussing or drinking. They're celebrating homosexuality, and they are proud of it. You gave a perfect answer, brother.
Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. Well, thank you for listening today, Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And if you're on Twitter, I'd love for you to follow me at Jeff Shreve, S-C-H-R-E-V-E, and I post a lot of things on there, things to help you distinguish the lies from the truth and hopefully encourage you in your Christian life. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you for His glory. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.